Let's do this. I know it's a Baptist church, but let's just do this just for fun, okay? Everybody raise both hands. Right up, straight up. Come on. Everybody. All right, good. Now do this. Exhale and lower your hands. Some of you fell asleep. It's about a degree or two warmer already. All right? All right. So you guys raise the temperature already. Well, let's take our Bibles, go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and I'm ready to have a good time in church today. I hope you are as well. Psalm 107, Thanksgiving's coming up just around the corner, and it's hard to believe, isn't it? Thanksgiving's already here. Well, Psalm 107 is an awesome psalm. It tells us a lot of things that were going on and things that were happening. It was written during an exile when the children of Israel were in exile. And it tells story after story, and we're going to talk about it, but many times throughout the Psalms, several actually, it says that they cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord, and it says it over and over. Now, the Bible tells us that God has a loyal love. He has a loyal love to His people. And that is as the redeemed, as a child of God. If you're here today and you have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know Christ, you have a relationship with Him, the Bible says you are part of the redeemed. And God has a very special love for you. He has a loyal love for His redeemed especially, but He has a love for all, but He has a real loyal love to those that are redeemed, and we benefit from that, and we receive blessings from His loyal love. We receive all sorts of things from all that God does and His love for us. Now, I want us to see, and if you want to jot it down in the bulletin there, you can, but I want you to see a few things I want to point out to you from this psalm this morning, and that is, first of all, God calls the redeemed to praise Him. God calls the redeemed to praise Him. You know, when you became a Christian and you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you weren't saved just to kind of sit around and hang out, but you were actually saved to serve. And I talked about that last Sunday night. We've all been saved to serve the Lord. Now, we have been saved to serve the Lord, but we've been saved to serve Him in certain ways. We've been served, called out also to praise Him, to exalt Him, to praise His name. Look, if you would, at Psalm 107, and let's look at the first few verses here. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The enemy is Satan. The enemy is the devil. The devil was on a path to destroy your life and to destroy your soul. And God has redeemed you as a child of God. He has purchased you with the blood of Christ, and you are redeemed. You are a redeemed child of God. Now look at verse number 3. It goes on and it says, "And He is gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." And He was speaking here of God's people, the nation of Israel. God had gathered them from all sorts of parts of the world, every direction. And He says, "I have called you, I have redeemed you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Well, why should God's people, let's just boil it down, why should God's people praise Him? Why should we praise the Lord? Because the world is a mess. Has anybody watched the news lately? It's a mess, all right? Now, we got senators having all kinds of accusations, and then other senators having and I've noticed some of them have, just be quiet, because you got skeletons in your closet. You start running your yap a little bit, and guess what? It's all coming back on you. The world is a mess. And not just there, it's a mess everywhere. And people are messed up. And they're messed up in drugs, they're messed up in sin, they're messed up in all kinds of ways. And so the world is absolutely a mess. And so how in the world is it that we're supposed to praise Him? Well, I believe in the mess, these people cry out, and we're going to see it. They cry out, Israel cries out, they cry out over and over in the mess that they find themselves in. They cry out in their trouble. Well, let's go back to our, matter of fact, in this particular psalm, when we look at it, the Bible tells us in verse 6, verse 13, verse 19, verse 28, you'll see all of those, it says they cry out. They cry out. Well, let's look at some of these. First of all, I want you to see that God delivered them. He delivered them from wandering. God has delivered them from wandering. You ever wander? We wander sometimes in Walmart's parking lot trying to remember where we parked. Okay, that's our wandering. So when we wander, it's like a big deal. We're pushing the thing in the our car. We got a Honda Accord, and it doesn't beep unless you're like within 10 feet of it. And so it's really like useless thing. I mean, right? So you got to remember where you parked. And so we've gone over with spray paint, and we put our name on one spot there, and that's where we park every time. Not really, all right? But we got to remember. So that's our idea of wandering. But the nation of Israel, when we're talking about wandering with them, they were wandering in the wilderness. And they were wandering in a desert. They were wandering where there was no food. There was no water except for when God provided it to them through his servant Moses. But even then, they were complaining and they were whining about, you know, eating quail and eating the bread. And here we go, pancakes again. You know, they were crying about it all the time. And they were in the midst of their wandering. And let's look at this. The Bible says he gave them even good things while they were wandering, things that would satisfy them. Look at verse number 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. Desperate. A desolate way, it sounds pretty desolate, doesn't it? A desolate way, they were really pretty, didn't have a whole lot going for them. And so they were wandering in a desolate way, and they found no city to dwell in. I don't know about you, but you know, some of you like camping and things like that and sleeping in a tent. Not really. I'd take a Hampton or whatever, all right? But they were wandering around, and there was no city for them to dwell in. And we don't understand that. We don't understand what it is to be wandering around out in the middle of a field or a desert without any lights, without anything happening. There was no city. There was no place to go. They're wandering around. There's no cities. And now look at it. Verse number 5. They were hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted in them. They were down. They were discouraged. Their soul fainted in them. They were in the midst of despair. There's no hope. I wish we would have stayed in Egypt. Remember, they said that over and over. They were out there wandering around, and their souls were faint within them. They were in despair. Verse number 6, look what happens. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, then they might that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies. He satisfies the longing soul. I don't know if you've ever been. I know we haven't wandered in the wilderness like they have, but wandering around in the trials of life and in the problems of life and in the desperation of life and in the despair of life. I don't know if you've ever wandered around in some of that, but it says here that he satisfies the longing soul. And this, the hungry soul, with goodness. God, he delivered them in their wanderings. I don't know if you're wandering today. I don't know what kind of desert you might be finding yourself in today. But did you see that in verse number 6, what they did? In their trouble, they cried out. And guess what? God heard them. Look at this next thing. God also delivers from bondage. He delivers from bondage. They were in darkness. They were rebellious. They had disobeyed the Lord over and over and over again, and they were in exile now. They were in the midst of real bondage. I don't know if you have ever been in real bondage. I know maybe it seems like it sometimes at work when it's 3 o'clock and you don't get off till 5. Might seem like bondage. But I'm talking about bondage. I'm talking about slavery. I'm talking about being mistreated. I'm talking about servitude and so forth. They were in the midst of real, real bondage. Now look at verse number 10, if you would. It says in verse number 10, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death bound in affliction and irons. Now, you and I, we may not have handcuffs on, and we may not be tied up, and we may not have bars in front of us, but did you see that there about affliction? They had different affliction, I understand, as being in bondage. But in the midst of affliction and irons, you and I, no matter where you're at in life, you either are in the midst of some affliction, or you have had some affliction, or you're about to. There's affliction in life. There just is. And it says, in the midst of their afflictions and irons, verse number 11, look at this, because they rebelled. Why were they in the afflictions? Why were they in bondage? Because they rebelled, what? Against the words of God. Now, I want you to give me just a second here to think about this. There are some afflictions that come into our life that God allows and we had nothing to do with. It might be cancer. It might be the death of a loved one. It might be the pain that some other person causes you. You have nothing to do with it. You had no part in it. There are those afflictions. Then there are some other afflictions. And I think, did you see right here? It says, because you rebelled against the words of God. Sometimes, not always, we create our own afflictions, don't we? Sometimes we create our own afflictions. Well, Lord, I want them to have a great Christmas this year, and you go and jack up the credit card. Happy February. That is an affliction that you brought on yourself. You see that? Do you think there might be two kinds of afflictions? There are afflictions that happen. You didn't have anything to do with getting diagnosed with cancer. But the affliction of your credit card, God didn't do that to you. Right? And so there's two types of afflictions in life. There's the afflictions in life that we cannot do anything about, and then there's the afflictions in life that we bring onto ourselves. And I want us to see that. It says that they ignored the words of God. Look at the next part here. And they despised. You know, what's that? If someone despises you, does that mean they're saying nice things to you? No. And they despise what? The Most High. They despise God. That's pretty strong stuff, isn't it? It's one thing to rebel against His words, but when you despise God, you raise your fist at God in anger. Say, I would never do that. Oh, I would hope we never would, but I would guarantee you there's probably some circumstances, some things that will come or maybe have come in your life that have really just made you say, God, why? What are you doing? It goes on and it says in verse number 12, therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They became slaves and servants. And they fell down, and there was none to help. They're pretty much hopeless in their situation. And then, look at this, verse number 13. These are the people that rebelled against the words of God, and these are the people that despise the Most High. And then when you come to verse number 13, look what the Bible says. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And He saved them out of their distresses. And He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men, look at this, verse number 15. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For look at this, for He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. I don't know what bondage you're in. I don't know what afflictions you're carrying, but I want to tell you something. Some of it may be within the sovereign will of God for you to experience, and other of it may be due to your rebellion against His word or your despising the Spirit of God in your life. So there could be a couple of reasons for those things. And then they're just, you know, it's not all your fault, or some of it may be your fault. But in the times of your trouble, look what it said they did. We could judge. We could say, oh, how could they? But look what they did. They at least cried out to God. They didn't keep running. They didn't keep going in the wrong direction. They cried out to Him and He delivered them from their bondage. Look at the next thing. God delivered the sick from dying. They were near, some might have been even near death in their servitude. When they were near death, they cried out. And you know, I've seen many people, I've actually been around many people when they die. And I've seen people cry out to the Lord, and I've seen people that just refuse. But these folks, it says they cried out to the Lord and he restored them. God can heal. I think of one of the stories, was it Hezekiah in the Bible? Was going to die. And he turned to God and he prayed. And God said, okay. And he gave him 15 more years. Does God always do that? No. Does God always do things the way that we want to? No. But I will tell you this. I do believe that all that God does do is for His glory. It's for His glory. We may not understand. We may not know why. We may not understand timing. We may not, but all that He does is for His glory. When we're healed, we ought to give offerings of thanks to the Lord. Look at verses 17. Verse 17 and following here a little bit. Fools. They were fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities. They were afflicted. See that? We talked about that a minute ago. Our sin sometimes brings on afflictions. Verse number 18, their soul, it abhorred all manner of food. And they drew near to the gates of death. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of what? Thanksgiving, and declare His works with rejoicing. God delivered many of these people from dying. They were about to die in the wilderness and in their exile, in their bondage. But God delivered them. They cried out to Him and God delivered them. Look at the next thing. God delivers men from His storms. That's kind of what I've talked about a little bit. His storms. God sends storms. There are storms sometimes that come in our lives that God sends. Sometimes, you know, sailors, they get out there in the middle of the storm and they use up all of their wisdom. They use up everything that they can. They use it all up. And guess what? They need God. Remember Jonah? We talked about it not too long ago. They were in the midst of a terrible storm. And they did everything that they absolutely could. And what did they end up doing, church? What? Well, they threw him overboard, but what did they do? They cried out to God. They prayed, right? Didn't the pagans have a pagan prayer meeting on the boat? Yeah, they did. They prayed. And when storms come, that's what people do. They pray. They need God. They turn to Him. And He delivers and guides them. Look at this passage here, verse 23. Look what it says. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters. I could never be a lobster man or something like that. That's dangerous. That's scary. And that's, he's talking about that. He says they see the works of the Lord. They see storms. They see these waves. and his wonders in the deep. For he, look at this, he commands and he raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea, and they mount up to the heavens, and they go down again to the depths, and their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses, and he calms the storm, and so that its waves are still, and then they are glad because they are quiet. And so he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. God delivers even in his storm. So when you're facing his storms, maybe it's the cancer, or maybe it's a wayward child, or maybe it's an illness. We don't know what it might be. Maybe it's an unwanted divorce. It could be all sorts of things. It's a storm that you didn't bring, but it's a storm that God has allowed to come into your life. And if he's allowed it to come into your life, he desires to receive the glory from it and through it. And he can deliver you even in his storms. Look at the next thing. God has dominion. He has dominion over nature and over man. He has the power over nature. God can raise up storms, and he can calm them down. We see that in the New Testament. Look at verse number 38. It says, he also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. Humble the proud, lift up the humble. All he does is for our benefit. All that God does is for our benefit. And it can cause the righteous to see, cause the wicked to be silenced, to be quiet. Look at verse 33. I'm sorry, I was on the wrong passage there. Told you the wrong thing. He turns, look at verse 33. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground and a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. And he turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. And there he makes the hungry dwell that they, look at this, that they establish a city for a dwelling place. And sow fields and plant vineyards that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease when they are diminished. And he brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. Verse 40, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. And yet he sees the poor on high for far from affliction, and he makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. A wise person will see things in their life and they'll notice God's hand and they'll bring him praise. They'll go straight to him. They'll give him praise. I want to ask the pianist to come and just play. I don't want us to necessarily sing, but I want the pianist to come and just be ready to play softly for a minute. I've been thinking a lot about this morning. You know, I have certain commercials that I like. I think they're really good. Geico has some of the best ones, right? Then there's the new one with DirecTV where the guy just beats his head against the beam, puts his arm in the vending machine. I know, I watch too much television, but that's hilarious. I like that one. But there's another one that I like, and I want to bring it to you today because it's my illustration. Farmers Insurance. Have you seen the Farmers Insurance one yet where the moose tackles the swing set? Right? I love that. I'm from Maine, so I like moose. I've never seen that. But how did they get the moose to do that in the video? How did they do that? I don't know. But they know a thing or two because they've seen a thing or two. Right? Here's what I want us to think about today. Church, I don't think, and I'm trying to be conscious of time, but I really think before Thanksgiving, I just want to talk to you heart to heart. Matter of fact, John back there, just shut the recording thing off. You can shut it off now. I really don't want this on the internet later or anything like that. I'm just talking with you.